Adult, that's why we're kind of splitting off several classes as we go. You say, well, preacher, what happens when you run out of space? That we'll deal with that when we get there. But the truth of the matter is, I think that if we're going to grow, and by the way, I am for growing numerically. I don't think that ought to be our ultimate goal, but God is going to go ahead and bless if we go ahead and do things according to his word. But the truth of the matter is, I like numbers as far as getting as many people under the sound of the gospel as possible. And I think God is pleased with that. We ought to be winning people. And our church, you know what? And by the way, if our church isn't growing, it's dying. You know what I mean? I'll just say it again. If it's not growing, I mean, if we're not at least going forward, if it's not growing, it is dying. But let me just say this also. I'd rather have 60 people in church that would want to serve God, that would want to stick with the Bible, that would want to go ahead and follow the man of God, than to have 160 people that want to cause division and cause strife and so forth. You know, that's the kind of church I'm looking for. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We can be united as we grow. We can be what God has us to be as we grow. And it's done. And as we grow, we can have stability through this book right here and through the preaching of this book. But that's just a side note. But the truth of the matter is, our goal, okay, as a leader of Christians or of young people or even baby Christians, our goal is to go ahead and help make wise the simple. Of course, my text verse I've used for several weeks here in Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses there if you want to turn over. Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 5, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to give the young man knowledge and discretion. So, what is our job? Okay, we ought to give the young man, or the simple one that is, knowledge and discretion. Where does real, true knowledge come from? It comes from this book right here. So we ought to be busy in teaching our young people the principles of the Word of God. So just as review, of course, I've been talking very much here about the five different people you find in the book of Proverbs. You will find the simple one. That was our central character for many weeks. Then I got on to the prudent person. Then I got on to the wise one. I haven't quite hit the scorner or the foolish here, but them are the five people that you will find in the book of Proverbs. The simple one, the simple one is the unpleaded one. That was a definition I gave, or the uncomplicated one. The simple one is the one whose life, I'm reviewing right now, but the simple one is the one in whose life has not yet entered into the complications of life, or has not entered into the many folds of life, such as mortgage payments and marriage and different things like that. The simple one is a young man or woman not having to carry all the responsibilities of adulthood. There's a lot of complications that are passed on, I think, to simple ones today. That's immorality. I talked a little bit about that. Immorality is all over the place. You know, you can't even watch a commercial on television without it being shown. In some places of our country, you can't even drive down the street without immoral billboards being all over the place. And I think it's a big problem for young people today. And we're going to be hitting that a little bit tonight, a little bit more on immorality. But anyways, and I talked about some polls, some amazing polls, I should say, out there of on immoral and teen pregnancy, how it's at an all-time high. And then, of course, the other night we talked about pregnancy packs. You know what? And we're going to talk a little bit about purity tonight. Instead of pregnancy packs, we ought to have a purity pact. Amen. Okay, that's good. I like that, okay? But the truth of the matter is, I remember Brother Scott, pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, he used to captain a bus route in East Chicago, Indiana. And this illustration stuck with me. I remember, I think he gave it at youth conference last year, just in his message. A mother of one of the girls on his bus route told him that four girls, okay, a mother of one of the girls on his bus route told him that four girls in her daughter's fifth grade class were carrying babies. Them are simple ones. It's no wonder why our young people are so messed up really today. You know, and a lot of it's because of the lack of prudent people in their life. A lot of it's because of the lack of we, you know, and I said it before, and I'm still reviewing here. I'll get to the message here in just a moment. But, you know, I happen to believe that if God called you to, you know, once you get saved, if God called you to be a Sunday school teacher 15 years ago, if that's the case, you know what, God probably still has called you today to do the same job. Amen. You know, if God called you to go ahead and work a bus or whatever, you know what? We ought to be growing as Christians instead of weakening. Okay, our desire ought to be going forward for Christ instead of just status quo in our Sunday school class, or status quo on our bus route, or status quo in our soul winning. Hey, no, we ought to be growing. And if God went ahead and called you to teach a class years ago, probably that same job should be part of your life today. The simple person will one day, as they grow, come to a fork in the road. I talked a little bit about that. And I talk about the safety and the safety. The Bible says, Proverbs 11:14, there's safety in a multitude of counselors, prudent counselors. And I'm not going to illustrate it because of time, but you know, I brought my son up here. You remember the different types of counselors or prudent people that surround him. And the truth of the matter is, we all ought to be on the same page instead of bickering with one another. You know, well, so-and-so doesn't do this, or the preacher doesn't do this, or this Sunday school teacher doesn't do this. No, we ought to be on the same page, and we ought to be loyal, because if we're not, you know what, if a simple person sees one bit of disloyalty to the man of God or to some other leader in church, you know what, it's no wonder that they're going to become disloyal down the road. You know what? Because they saw it all through their life as a kid. No, you know what? His leaders ought to go ahead. And by the way, if you can't be loyal to the program of the church or God's program or even the man of God, you know what? You might want to just back out quietly. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we ought to be leading these simple ones. We ought to be on the same page, because you know what? They're going to come to this fork in the road. And a good definition of a simple one, they're likened to a blank sheet of paper, and whoever gets to them first gets to draw the picture. Okay, so if the scorner, they come to this fork, and if they see all these prudent people that once served them and taught them go by the wayside because of whatever reason, or quit on God or whatever reason, if they see them get disloyal or start just getting disgruntled in the church and so forth, it's no wonder when they come down to the fork in the road, it's no wonder that they decide to, the scorner gets a hold of them, and it's no wonder that the scorner takes them to foolishness, and that's why they have bad decisions. Okay, and that's why their life, if you will, becomes very, very complicated once the scorner gets a hold of that child or that simple. I'm even talking about baby Christians. You know, that's why it's so important, you know, and the very best we can and the very best we will. And let me just say this, if you're a young Christian, you know, one sure way of getting discipled, you be in church every time the doors are opened. Amen. You get yourself in the church house. You know, there shouldn't be any complaint about, well, I'm not growing or this and that. And truth of the matter is, the ones that call me and say or tell me that they're not growing, they're the ones that maybe make it to church whenever. You know, when it's convenient. Hey, the truth of the matter is, you want to grow. You want to become rooted in the Word of God. Well, you ought to get under the preaching. You ought to find yourself in a Sunday school class. And you yourself ought to also be walking with God every single day. That'll root you real quick. But and don't misunderstand, I'm also for more discipleship. And I'm looking, Lord willing, as part of our goal, I'd like to start what I call a foundations class for some young Christians to be able to come. And I'll be praying for that. And it's a foundations class where we can teach them some of the doctrine of salvation and different things and baptism and so forth and so on. But the truth of the matter is, so that maybe after a few weeks or several weeks they can go on to another class or whatever, but that's something I'm looking for. But the truth of the matter is, don't you complain to me, simple one. All right, and I've had them complain, well, I'm just not growing or this or that or whatever the truth of the matter is. Let me ask a question. When was the last time you read your Bible? When was the last time that you acknowledged God in the home? When was the last time that you came to church, or you strove to come to church? When was the last time that you sit up and listen to the preaching? Hey, you know what? Right there is a lot of good food to give you strength, amen, and help you grow. But you know what? This simple one will come to the path, and if we're not careful, the scorner will get a hold of him. And you know what? If the scorner gets first, you know, he gets to go ahead and draw that picture in the life of that simple one. And if the wise one or the prudent one goes ahead and gets them first, and that's why, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah, hey, you know what, the prudent ought to be yelling out, hey, walk this way, come this way. You know, the Bible teaches, walk this way and walk ye in it. And you know what, and how often I've mentioned that sometimes I have to be a cheerleader and kind of push some of these simple ones. Hey, you want to go this way? Let me tell you something. The end result is better this way. You know, that's why prudent people, boy, you stay on the same page with God, and you know, and sometimes the simple ones will push. Sometimes they'll go ahead and say, you know, I want it my way, but the truth of the matter is, you know, we need prudent people who will love the simple enough to teach them and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to hang on to you for dear life, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to stay faithful to the Word of God so that they can see the faithfulness of the Word of God. So when they get to this fork, which they all may face one day, you know what, they got prudent people. They got that multitude of counselors so surrounding them, and you know what, it's no wonder that they wind up someday maybe as preachers. It's no wonder, because they went to wisdom. They went from simple to prudence to wisdom, instead of simple to scorner to foolishness. And that's why the jailhouses are filled today, because a scorner got a hold of them. That's why we have rebellion today. That's why we have so much crime today, simply because somewhere along the way, some simple person, some scorner got a hold of some simple person, and they wound up, if you will, at foolishness. That's just a little bit of review. But our goal ought to be getting, as prudent people, our goal ought to be getting the young people to wisdom. A scorner is a critic. If he catches hold of the simple, the scornful mentality will eventually lead the way to foolishness. See. Simple person, you ought to keep this right up in your head. As you're raising your kids, a simple person can be likened to a blank sheet of paper, and anyone who can write on it. You know what? Think of those kids that you have in your home. You know, if we don't go ahead and do our job and teach our kids, and by the way, it's every parent's responsibility to teach your kids. If we don't go ahead and do our job and teach our kids, you know, the importance of going to church and the importance of, you know what? I've said it, but you know what? Your kids will ultimately do what you feel is important. If church is important in your life now, if reading that Word of God is important in your life right now, you know what? Listen to me. It'll become important to them down the road. You know why? Because all through the years, they've seen Mama and Daddy open up that book in private devotion. All through the years, they've seen Mama and Daddy sit around with a family reading the Word of God. You know what? If the Word of God is important to you, Mama and Daddy, you know what? It will become important to your child. And it's no wonder, listen to me, it's because of the lack of this book and the lack of Christ being the focal point in the home, it's no wonder why we are raising brats today. Amen. Now you say, well, preacher, this is Wednesday night service. It's pretty harsh. No, but the truth of the matter is it's truth. You know, and what I'm trying to say, and I'm not being unkind. You know what? I said it the other night. I bore my heart very well. You know what? You stand behind the preacher. My goal is I want your kids to become successful as far as God's concerned. I don't have any desire when I've seen enough of it. I have seen young people and I've seen teenagers go by the wayside, and every time it happens, it breaks my heart. People that I've invested in. Hey, listen to me. You know, as your pastor and as a pastor of your kids, you know, I have a desire for them to go ahead and make it for God and be what God has them to be. But you know what? Parents, you've got some responsibility too. It's not just all the preacher. It's not just all your bus captain or Sunday school teacher. You know what? Oftentimes we'll get them to church and let the preacher preach to them and let the Sunday school teacher. No. You know what? Raising your kids is 7 days a week. Amen. I know that wasn't included in the past, but it was good. All right. The prudent one. Who is he? Of course, he's one that has learned from his mistakes in life and has learned from the mistakes of others. He has a heart for learning and has learned to stand back and take a long look at the situations developing around him. The prudent one, I love this verse describing the prudent. He's one that foreseeth the evil, Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple ones pass on and are punished. Hey, that's why we need to be prudent. And you know what? That's why teenagers or young people, when your parents say no, you know why? Because they see ahead. They're able to look down the road. And when they say no to you, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of wisdom in that little word no. You know, if your mama and your daddy go ahead and say no because they don't want you to do something or whatever the case may be, it's very well because of the fact that they can see ahead. The prudent foreseeth the evil. And you know what? They don't want you to be so simple that you pass on, you become punished, and there's some stiff consequences in your life. Hey, listen, that word no is okay there, kids. The prudent person is a protector of a simple one's immaturity. Let me move forward. I want to get to the heart of it here. I know I wound up, and this is where I want to pick up a little bit because I didn't finish, but I wound up talking about dating. You know, today dating is can be very complicated. I think it can be. And the truth of the matter is, the world's philosophy of dating, let me tell you something, is not biblical. I'll just say that right off the bat. Okay, we're going to share some scripture in just a moment, but you know what? The truth of the matter is a prudent parent or teacher will warn the simple one to be careful about dating. I've had a philosophy, preferably to wait to date. And the truth of the matter is, if my kids get to a certain age, whether it be 16, 17, 18, somewhere along the way, and some guy or some girl, I'm just going to share with you my philosophy, they're interested in him or her at all, you know what? The truth of the matter is, especially the girls, okay? The truth of the matter is, they're going to come to me and they're going to talk to me about it. And you know, I'm their parent. And you know, I mean, and they're under my roof, and I'm going to go ahead and find out a little bit, and I'm going to dig a little bit, and so forth. I may put the fear of God in him, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? A good philosophy, I think a proper philosophy, is to wait today. You know, the truth of the matter, we only have them for 18 years. They'll have a spouse for, what, you hear these anniversaries, 40, 50 years. Amen, that's good. You know, we only have them for a little while. I use a scenario of a 16, 17-year-old young man, and I want to use this to kind of get to walk into my lesson tonight. Young man who has been hugging, kissing, and necking and petting. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. We're going to talk about that shortly. You know, and he's asked by the prudent one, have you been hugging, kissing? Well, of course. I'm 16 years old, and I like it, and I'm going to do what I want to do. The prudent one then asks and says, are you going to marry her? No, I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. Then he's asked, how would you feel about a boy who hugs and kisses your sister? Well, first of all, that would be gross, says this 16-year-old. If he did any more than that, I'd go ahead and really be ticked. I'd beat him up. The prudent then asked, suppose you have a 16-year-old daughter and some boy wants to be immoral with her. Oh, I'd go ahead and kill. Do you understand, the prudent says, do you understand that the tiny concept of that girl you are dating is someone else's daughter or sister? The teenager responds, you know, I never thought of that. They never thought of it, obviously, because they're the simple one. And the prudent one is there to go ahead and guide him and try to cause him or her to look at the big picture. Let's take a long look here. Teenagers believe that they're old enough to misbehave with the opposite gender, but they're not old enough to think beyond what is going on in life right now. And all the simple 16-year-old knows is that he or she has pretty lips, and he wants his against hers, and the prudent one says, hey, buddy, let's look at the big picture here. You know, that's somebody else's daughter. That's somebody else's sister. Tonight's truth, if you will, to what I'm going to be teaching on, it's not, you know, let me just say this. The Bible's very clear. You know, you read the Bible, ought to convict you, and it's very, very clear. The Bible can be very blunt. And, you know, truth of the matter, and I'll be very, very careful. I'm not going to be graphic by any means, but I will discuss biblically about relationships a little bit to a certain degree. And the truth of the matter, I'm going to go ahead and preach and teach a little bit on what people don't like to preach and teach and preach on anymore. And that is immoral relationships, if you will. And the truth of the matter is, we need to teach these simple ones the dangers of immoral or fornication or adultery. We need to teach them. You know, the Bible says, turn to 1 Timothy 5:22. We're still on this subject of making wise the simple, but as I was preparing, I felt like I wasn't quite done with this idea, if you will. But I'm going to get there in just a moment. But this lesson is as much for the prudent one as to the teenagers and young people. Our job as prudent leaders are to teach the simple ones to help them to see the big picture of life. Simple ones do not always understand the consequences of the decisions. You take a simple one that desires, you know, as I mentioned, a simple 16, 17-year-old, they want to start necking and petting. They don't know the dangers of what's going to happen next. You know, the truth is, you know what? Our goal as a prudent person is to go ahead and instead of, you know, we heard about the pregnancy pact. And I mentioned a moment ago, we ought to be praising purity pacts. And teenagers, you know, a few weeks ago, I had a wedding book out here, and I meant to bring it out again just to show you a list of my former teenagers that I had that said, you know what, I'm going to be pure until I get to that marriage altar right there. And you know what, by the way, there was one young fella that came in and said, you know what, I want to sign that book as well. You know what, he said, I want to make a pact with you, preacher, that I'm going to be remain pure till I get married. Hey, that's not a bad pact to have, amen? We ought not be, it's too bad I have to go ahead and preach against pregnancy packs at 14, 15, 16 years old. But the truth of it is, these simple ones, they don't understand the consequences. You know, these girls that decide to get pregnant, however many 16, 17 of them over there in Gloucester, you know what? Their life is going to be totally different now. Their teen years are going to be zapped away from them. The very fact that they could have had time having some fun, if you will, hanging out, what teenagers do, going to the mall, doing things. You know what? That's all gone now. I remember listening to an interview of one of these girls, and she said, "I'm glad I did it," but then she just kind of turned around and said, "Boy, but it's been very tough." She goes ahead, "You know, I used to be able to go to the mall and hang with my friends. I used to be able to go ahead and do this or do that, but you know what? Now I have this responsibility of a baby." Well, ma'am, young lady, you should have thought of that before you did it. But you know, they don't understand the consequences of the decisions. This area of dating, I mentioned that parents and pastors and other spiritual leaders ought to be involved in their children's dating. You know, I mean, I used to teach and I used to preach and I used to, you know, I tried to put the guard up to my teenagers through the years. Anyone who sat under me as a youth pastor knew that I'd preach about dating or even preach against it to some degree, especially if you're 5, 6, 7 years old. You know, it may seem cute, but you know what? We ought to just squash that mentality at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, boyfriend, girlfriend. We really should. Amen. But anyways, but in this area of dating, you know, who they date. You know, parents, you ought to be involved with who they date. You ought to get their background. How old they should be to date. You ought to have them guidelines and present it to your kids before they start really getting interested in the opposite gender. We ought to have biblical guidelines taught them before they become a teenager on how they ought to date. When asked, I've been asked several times, at what age should a teenager date? I've always replied, and it's a teenager is ready to date when he or she has made a commitment to purity in his or her dating standards. You know what? When a teenager would come to me and say, "You know what? I'm going to remain pure, just like I have in a book back there, I'm going to remain pure until the altar." You know what? Then I say, "You know what? You're probably responsible enough to go ahead and have a date. You're probably responsible enough to go ahead and by the way, you say, "Are you just preaching?" No, parents, I'm trying to get this in our head. You know, we need to be teaching the simple ones this stuff. We need to be teaching the simple ones the biblical basis of dating. Let me tell you something. You don't want to wait until they're 16, 17 years old before you start teaching them the dangers of dating and why have dating standards and different things. That commitment, that purity commitment, if you will, should be made to the parents. You know what? When you're ready to go ahead and you feel like you're ready to date, and I've said a teenager is ready to date when they're ready to make that purity commitment in his or her dating standards, you need to go to mama and daddy and say, "You know what? I'm going to go ahead and remain pure to the marriage altar." You ought to go to your preacher and say, "I'm going to remain pure till the marriage altar." And it should be very clear to anyone that you intend to date that, "You know what? I'm going to remain pure." You know, how do you remain pure? Don't get physical in the first place. You know, guys get excited by sight. It's okay to say this. It's all right. You know, I'd much rather have you hear it through the local Bible-believing Baptist church than your television tonight. And the girls get excited by touch. You know, if you're going to go ahead and guard against purity, if you're going to remain pure, as the Bible says, teenager, you know what? You better decide right now. You better come to a holy altar and say, "You know what? I'm not going to get physical in the first place until marriage." Amen. 1 Timothy 5:22, there's a little statement here that Paul, of course, he's writing to Timothy 5:22. Let me see here. Okay. "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of any man's sins. Keep thyself pure." If I was to go ahead and have a second title to this Make Wise series tonight, I'd say it would be "Keep thyself pure." That word "keep" means to guard. That word "pure" obviously means to be clean, innocent, modest, perfect, means mature, if you will, sacred, or blameless. We are commanded to keep ourselves pure. Hey, teenager, guard your purity. The prudent parent's desire ought to be to prevent a ruined testimony of their son or daughter. Let me tell you something, teenager. You know what? You start with purity. By the way, you don't have a second chance at giving the gift of purity at the altar once you've already blown it. Amen. You don't have that second chance. Let me tell you something, teenager. You know what? You want to fool around, neck and petting, and all this stuff. You know what? Let me tell you something. You're heading for a downward spiral. And you know what? You will answer to God for it one day. It won't be your mom or daddy. It won't be, and maybe to some degree, mom and daddy will have to answer if you haven't gone ahead and put the biblical principles in place. But the truth of the matter is, you ultimately, young person, you're going to face God one day. You want to flander around, and you want to come to this. And by the way, you want to flander around as a young person or whatever the case may be. Don't you ever come to the marriage altar with a white dress on. Amen. You know, that white means purity. That white means that you're as pure as the driven snow, if you will. Hey, what I'm trying to say is, parents, prudent people, we better get in the lives of our teenagers now. You better go ahead and teach them the biblical. You know what? Your parent, just as much as their desire or their goal ought to be to keep thyself pure, parents, your goal ought to be that same thing. You know what? My desire for each teenager and for each young person here is to keep yourself pure. Amen. And that ought to be our desire as prudent people for these young people. Parents, if you don't watch your child, if you don't want your child to break your heart and have children out of wedlock and sex before marriage, you teach them the importance of purity. Teach them the importance of going to the marriage altar pure and clean and untouched and unspotted from every male and every female defiling him or her before marriage. You know, television, if you're not careful, it does fuel immorality. Amen. It does. You know, I was talking with some folks yesterday, you know, about what Hollywood East coming to town. You know, that ought to concern us. That really ought to concern us. You don't want anything, everything. You know what? And I've never been to Hollywood, California. I have no desire to go to Hollywood, California, or whatever the case may be. But you know what? I know surrounding that, there's all kinds of junk that goes around Hollywood, California. I mean, you got from pornography to bars and all that type of, there's a whole lot of junk. And don't get me wrong, we have a certain degree of that here. But you know what? I wonder how much more it would be fueled if we go ahead and get Hollywood East here. We ought to be concerned about that. We ought to speak up. But the truth is, you know, television fuels immorality. Romance novels will fuel thoughts in teens that they ought not be thinking about before marriage. Sex ed ought to be taught in the home in the local Bible-believing Baptist church. Like I said, you say, preacher, you know, I don't know, this, you know, on a Wednesday night, you shouldn't be teaching this and so forth. Hey, you know, I'd much rather be teaching it in church. I'd much rather see you teach it in your home than to go ahead and let your box go ahead and teach it in your living room. Amen, amen. But sex ed ought to be taught in the home, in the local Bible-believing Baptist church instead of the public schools and television. Hey, you know, prudent, you need to teach your kids. You know, the Bible says, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. All right, I'm going to read a few verses, verse number 6. But you know what? We ought to teach our kids no touching. You know, I said just a moment ago, and this is true. You know, I'm a married man. I know how true this is, but the truth of the matter is, you know, you ought to be teaching your kids no touching. You ought to be a 6-inch rule. Hey, you young lady, if some guy, you know, before you're married, some guy wants to go ahead and snuggle up close to you and go ahead and put his arm around you, you ought to take that high-heeled shoe that you have off. Take it off. And go ahead and say, you know, and he says, hey, baby, I want to kiss you. Well, go ahead. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And just about the time that he's got to go ahead and lean over and become immoral with you, you take that high heel. Don't kill him. Just swat him. You know what? You'll get his attention. Hey, listen. You know, you ought to teach your kids no touching. I mentioned touch excites a female and sight excites a male. You know what? Hey, listen. You know what? Well, let's get biblical about it. David, what did he do? He lusted at Bathsheba. And look at all that happened as a result of that one sin. I mean, here was a married man lusting after a married woman when the truth of the matter is, you know, he took the day off. He should have been out in battle anyways, but the truth of the matter is he took the day off, wanted to rest and so forth. And I'm not against time off, but you know what? You know what? If you need to be showing up to work, you know, idle time's a devil workshop. You know, amen. That's a biblical principle, though. Now, idle time is the devil's workshop. You know, you want to go ahead and have too much time on your hands. I don't like a lot of time on my hands. I really don't. I don't like to just slough off necessarily. You know what? When it's time for bed, so forth, that's fine. But you know, but I don't like a whole lot of time. I like to keep busy. And you know what? But David, you know, of course, he was on the rooftop. He saw Bathsheba there bathing. We know the story. And look at where it ended. You know what? It didn't just end with an adultery, which God hates. It is an abomination, but you know, it also ended in murder. Amen. But you know what? We ought to be teaching our kids no touching. You know, let me just read. I'm going to bounce up into chapter 6 in a moment. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:1, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. That's pretty plain right there. You know, it's good for a man not to, and you know what? I say vice versa. You know, that word touch means a touch that lights a fire. Okay? And fire, of course, is the fire of sexual desire. Okay? The Bible teaches that this fire, listen to me, that type of fire is only between a married couple. Amen. It ought not be fueled between an unmarried couple. It ought not be fueled between a teenage couple or anything like that. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? That's why, you know, God says, Paul says here, God says here, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. You know what? I'm trying to put some red flags up here tonight. You know what? Because it's immorality all over tonight. And that, you know what? The devil, you know what? I think one of the biggest tools is, of course, through rock music, I think. You know what? There's nothing, that's nothing but immoral music, by the way. You listen to the lyrics, that's enough to go ahead and make you sick. That's nothing but immoral music. But the truth of the matter is, I think one of the biggest tools today that he's trying to get your teenage daughter, your teenage son, or even your little boy and girl is through the television and through immoral pictures that's scattered all abroad. You can't even walk through a checkout counter anymore without seeing naked pictures all over the place. You know, that ought to get us angry. And what I'm trying to say, we better be putting a guard up. The Bible says to keep thyself, put a guard. Keep means to be put a guard up. Keep thyself pure. And and parents tonight, our goal for our young people ought to be keeping them pure by teaching them the principles of this book right here. And you teenagers, you ought to decide, and maybe it's been a while, maybe you need to go ahead and rededicate this decision, but you ought to come forward and say, you know what, God, I'm going to keep myself pure. Because let me tell you something, you don't have a second chance at purity. And you know the greatest gift that you can go ahead and give to that husband or that new husband and that new wife to be down the road is the fact that, you know what, I've not been fondled and held all over as a kid. I kept myself for you. That's a wonderful gift there, young person. And don't you let some pregnancy pack, don't you let a bunch of peers go ahead and tell you, no, you know what, it's not cool if you don't go ahead and do it. No, it is cool. And by the way, at Faith Baptist Church, it's a cool thing to do is keep yourself pure. The Bible also instructs us to flee fornication. The Bible says, let's move up here a little bit. What, let's see, in verse number, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Flee fornication, every sin that man doeth without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. The Bible says, run from fornication. Fornication is illicit behavior. Okay? And we ought to be running from that kind of behavior. So if anyone wants to be absolutely certain that you're not going to commit fornication, hey, you know what? Don't get physical in the first place. Amen. Hey, teenager, your goal ought to be a goal of purity. Parent, your goal for your kids ought to be a goal of purity for your kids. The greatest gift that you can give your future spouse, teenager, is the fact that you've kept yourself pure and given him or her the gift of purity. Hey, you know, to ensure yourself, your child's purity, parent, you be pure yourself. To ensure your child's purity, parent, you be sure, you be pure yourself. You know, you remain clean yourself. You ought to say, you know what, that little statement in First Timothy 5, keep thyself pure, is just as much for the young person as it is for you, mom and daddy. In this day and age that we live in, it's all over the place. And don't you think for a minute, because you're married, oh, you know what? I'm all set. No, you are. You better, you know what? You know what? You better get in this book too, or else you better go ahead and be close to God. You better be walking with God too. Let me tell you something. You don't go ahead and keep your guard up. You don't keep your mind clean. You don't keep yourself pure. Let me tell you something. The devil will be after you too. I've seen it time and time again. The truth of the matter is, the devil will be after you too. Hey, you know what? Parent, you keep yourself pure. Hey, prudent one. Hey, leader, you keep yourself pure. If you can't control the television, I'm talking prudent ones right now. You say, well, it's so much easier when you preach to the young people. No, I'm talking about us right now. You know, if you can't control the television and what's on it, you better get rid of it. Get rid of it. If you can't go ahead and keep your mind clean because of it in your home, get rid of it. You want your child to be clean, you quit watching your dirty filth, your dirty soap operas, and your late night filth. Hey, you turn it off, and if you're going to go ahead and be able to teach your kids clean and purity, you know what? You need to stay clean and pure yourself. And it's hard this day and age. It's all around us. You quit sneaking around. You love your wife. You love your husband. You be a good, godly example of marriage to your children. Amen. You know what? Let them go ahead and see the love bestowed between you. You know what? And it's no wonder that your child, you know what? You're going to raise a brat. If you want to fuss and fume in your home as a husband and wife, don't you? You know what? Let me tell you something. You're going to raise a brat, and he's going to run around. He or she's going to run circles around you, and you're going to be raising a brat, and they're going to be rebellious. You know why? Because you're rebelling against each other as a husband and wife. Come on now. Amen. You know, we need to go ahead and have a loving relationship with your wife, a loving relationship with your husband. You know, the Bible also says, look on down here to number five. You know, I'm on the marriage thing a minute. Let me just read a a couple scriptures here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, and Satan tempt you for your incontinency. You know what? You know, you ought not be defrauding each other. I'm talking about you husbands, wives right now. You know what? Let me tell you something. I'm going to be very careful here, but you know what? There is an act in marriage, and you know what? It's no wonder. It's no wonder why men will go running off, because what the wife is too frigid to go ahead and give the love that your husband needs. It's no wonder that they'll go ahead and go peeking around on some television or some porn shop or whatever. Hey, you know what? Hey, if the Bible be true, and it is, let me tell you something. Don't you defraud your husband of the rights of marriage. Don't you do it. And your wife also. Amen. You ought to be loving one another. Hey, what we need is we need some good, godly examples back in the home again. And it's no wonder. It's no wonder why husbands and wives can't talk to each other anymore, because they're defrauding one another and they're showing no love or affection to one another. Hey, you know what? Once you have this ring, husband and wife, you can go at it. You can go to town. You can have a good time. And you love one another. We need a revival of loving one another again. We need it. And you know what? And if your child sees you bickering back and forth, listen to me. It's no wonder that they're going to grow up maybe under a scorner's realm. It's no wonder. Hey, you know what? We ought to have a goal. Hey, prudent person, we ought to have a goal to keep ourselves pure. Hey, I told my deacon, my wife, like they can go back to my computer anytime they want. And they know this. They can go back. My password is, you know what? They have it. They can check whatever's on there. You know why I want to be blameless? Hey, husband, you blameless tonight? Wife, you blameless tonight? Hey, listen to me. You know what? We're having way too much sneaking around. Listen to me. We're living in a very, very serious time today. It's no wonder why divorce and is skyrocketing simply because of unfaithfulness to one another. We need a revival of good, solid, godly marriages again. I want to be blameless. We ought to be blameless. Why do I want to be blameless? It might be that I'm trying to guard myself for the sake of your children and my children. You know, I've had people say, and I'm going to wrap up here. I'm through. I've got still a lot to go here. You know, I said the prudent one desire ought to be to teach a simple one how to make good decisions in the areas of dating, so they will not have a ruined testimony. The prudent may say, preacher, I messed up. I've had people say, you know, preacher, you don't understand. How can I go ahead and teach my kids or teach a class or whatever about dating and doing right when I went ahead and messed up? You know, in some ways, you are one of the most qualified people to go ahead and talk about it. In some ways. You know, and the Bible says, you know what, if you confess your sin, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is just, it left me. You know, I rattle it off all the time. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what, the truth of the matter is, you know what, so what, okay, you messed up. I'm not belittling that. But the truth of the matter is, if you messed up somewhere along the way, you get down for an altar and say, God, I'm so sorry, I messed up, please forgive me. You know what? The 1 John 1:9 says he's confessed it. He's forgiven you. You've confessed it, he'll go ahead and forgive. You know, God's forgotten about it. You should not dwell on the mistakes, okay? You say, well, I messed up. Don't dwell on the mistakes of the past. You know, God's forgotten about it. Amen. Your sins are as far as from the east is to the west. They're in the depths of the sea tonight. Don't let the devil keep you from serving because of past mistakes or sins that God has forgiven you. Hey, what I'm trying to say tonight, prudent person, maybe you have messed up, but don't you let the devil go ahead and defraud you from going forward and serving God. Maybe as a teacher, you know what, maybe you've done things that would disqualify you as a pastor or different things like that, but you know what, let me tell you something, prudent person, you adult, you still can be used of God. And don't you let somebody say, well, you know what? Oh, pastor, you don't understand. So-and-so did this and did this and did this. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, if they come to the altar and they're saved and they've confessed their sin, God has gone ahead and forgiven them. And maybe they can't be used to the extent that they could have been used. But you know what? They might be able to be used somewhere to be an example to a young person, somewhere to be an example for Christ. Hey, what I'm trying to say, don't let the devil keep you from serving God because of past mistakes and sins. You know, God has forgiven it. Hey, what I'm trying to say, we need young people today. Instead of these pregnancy packs, You ought to be at this altar saying, you know what? I'm going to reinforce that decision. I'm going to remain pure. You know, we need some mamas and daddies. We need some workers. We need some bus captains. We need some godly men and ladies in our church. And don't you think you're not prone to falling? We all are. But it might just be, you know what, if we're going to be the kind of example to young people, it might just be that we all need to get on our face before God and invitation to say, okay, God, you know what, I'm making a pact. I'm going to keep my, I'm going to be pure. I'm going to be the kind of daddy and husband I need to be. I'm going to be the kind of mama and wife that I need to be for my children, for my husband. You know what, it might just be that we need to go ahead and also say to us, hey, keep thyself pure. You know, the devil's just like he's after the children. He's after you. You say, well, preacher, you know, I'll hear it. I don't quite agree. You know, you shouldn't be teaching that with a bunch of kids. You know, I'd much rather, you know what? But you'll go ahead and go home and teach it to your kids on the box tonight. You go ahead and justify it. Well, it's okay if it's taught in the classroom when it ought to be taught right here at the church and in your home. Somebody ought to say amen. You know, the devil's after your kids. You know, the devil's not very happy with what's going on here tonight. He's not very pleased about the fact that you showed up to church tonight. And he'd do everything he can. He'd like to do everything he can to go ahead and bring you down. And it could be through immorality, mama or daddy. You know, it might be good just to make a pact with God. Say, okay, God, you know what? I'm reinforcing my decision. Let's pray. Heavenly Father. God, you're very clear in your word about purity, about adultery, about fornication. And I pray, dear God, that all of us tonight will decide, we'll just reinforce it. You know what? We're going to remain pure as a daddy and as a mama. I'm talking about pure as far as being faithful to one another so that our children in church and our children in our home see a loving marriage. I pray that there maybe be some young people that just decide tonight, reinforce that, you know what, I'm going to be pure, God, because that's what the Bible says. I don't want to have a ruined testimony. I don't want to spiral downward because of what I think is right about dating. No, God, I'm going to go ahead and decide to live right and live clean and live pure. I pray, Father, that whatever decision needs to be made, it's made tonight. I pray, Lord, as we teach some more on making wise the simple, you know, what are we trying to do? We're trying to train the next generation of Christians. And it might just be if we get a remnant of people that will decide, of young people that will decide to live right, clean, pure, go off and serve you and live for you and raise godly families and go off and be preachers, missionaries, or whatever the case may be, it just might be you'll salvage this nation. That's what it's all about. I pray, Father, that you'd bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The music's going to play. Whatever decision, teenager, maybe you got to go ahead and make a purity pact again tonight. Maybe you got to go ahead and seal some things. Why don't you make